Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Thalitha Williams and your faith-based community nurse. And we're back in the trenches again, talking about health and wellness. And hope and pray that things have gone well, that you have remained healthy, safe, and blessed throughout the week. And hope you are surviving all the issues and problems that we're incurring in our society. So before I get started with the program tonight, I'm going to go to my scripture, which is Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And so tonight, wanted to go over one of the things, which is really a hot topic right now. Also, if you listen at the news in terms of what is happening in our society, as well as how some of the issues that we're experiencing are being used, even in the campaign for different offices. So tonight I wanted to go over gun violence, mass shootings, which even when I read the information, even though you know this, some of these things, a lot of the articles brought out a lot of things that I really wasn't aware of when you're looking at gun violence, mass shootings. And we need to see it beyond the scope of just the gun, just the shooting. There are a lot of intricate parts of it that impacts the lives of everybody. And it impacts them not just physically, but the mental part of it. And a lot of people think that when you say things like that, that you are anti-gun. And that's not the issue. The gun is not the issue. The issue is what people do with the gun. And the impact it has on society as a whole, and secondly, how many firearms do you need for protection? Because as we know, that the mass majority of what people are saying is for protection, but how much do you need for protection? And secondly, even as a collector, there's a limit to even for collectors. So I just that was something after the shooting in Oregon, and just looking at how our society is headed in terms of the mass shooting. It's a combination of everything. It's not just the physical. It's the mental. And then it is also the spiritual, where I feel like the church has got to be involved in some type of way and try to reach especially young people, because we know older people are doing it, but younger people are more are impacted by this, and they're more persuaded to do things that's typically done. One of the things, and I was talking to one of the people at my job did not know that she knew the area where our church was. But in our church, we had purchased a whole block except for like a small partial in between some of the lots that we owned. And the people that lived there had since moved out. The house was vacant. It was just a place where anybody and everybody just came in, drinking, drugs, and all that. So we purchased that lot. We tore the house down. That caused us to have the whole block on one side of the street. Across the street, there is apartments, and a lot of people that are in those apartments are squatters because the people that manage the apartments don't really care, don't really do a good job. But starting on another street adjacent to ours, we bought about 5 lots. So the people are looking because we're clearing the lots, and they're looking at it. And so one lady commented to us, we see that you all are buying those lots. You're clearing the land. And she asked, she said, everybody's kind of watching to see what you're going to do. And what about the apartments across the street? And I said, we're ready to buy the apartments. We just got to get the man to go ahead and release it, and eventually he will because he's losing money. And she said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, what we're going to do is use those areas, use the apartments to help people up. Once they come to the church and give their life to God, we're going to let them stay there until they can get themselves on their feet. We have a house. We're doing the same thing. And then I said, and eventually we would love to have add some more houses to the lot so that we will have decent places for people to live. So I brought that up, and that is kudos to my church because the previous pastor had a lot of vision for that area. But I said that to say this, that we have to find whatever method it takes to impact our community so that we can cut down on a lot of the crime, not just the shooting, but crime in particular. And so the church does have a role in this, and I know we can't save everybody, but we do have to do what we can to impact our community. So I was looking at some statistics on daily gun violence in America. Just astonishing. Every day, 321 people are shot in the United States. And when I looked at, they broke down the statistics. I won't go over all of them. But they did have a mass majority, which was 210, survived the gunshot injuries, and the second, 111, are shot and killed. And, of course, there are other statistics, but I thought that was an amazing number. Lars, I never really thought about it because we only get bits and pieces of people getting killed or a mass shooting, but every day 325 people are shot in the United States. When you look at daily gun violence impacting children and teens from 1 to 17, every day 22 children and teens are shot in the United States, okay? Which, again, when you take it one by one incident, you don't look at it as a whole, the vast majority of these, it says 17 children and teens, do survive the gunshot injuries. So you've got the mass majority of them are surviving it, but there are other impacts on this. Annual gun violence impacting people of all ages in the United States. This is astonishing. 117,345 people in the United States are shot every year. And among them, 76,725 do survive the gunshots. 40,620 die from the gunshot. So you're seeing, you're having a large majority that survive, but then you're having a lot that don't survive, which is very, very astonishing. Now, the impact on children and teens, every year 7,957 children and teens are shot in the United States. Again, 1,839 of them die from the guns violence, and 6,294 of them survive. So we're seeing a lot of violence, and we are seeing a lot of death. But in terms of that, you are seeing a lot of people that are surviving these gunshots. So we now recognize that firearm injuries are a serious public health. It is very serious. And most people suffer, which is the statistics that I brought out, non-fatal firearm-related injuries than those that die. And that bears out with the statistics that I just presented to you. Now, bear in mind, we've got a lot more surviving, but we're going to get into the impact even of their survival. And they, according to the statistics, these firearm injury affects people at all stages of life. Now, some groups have higher rates of firearm injuries than others. Men account for 86% of all victims of firearm deaths and 87% of non-fatal firearms. And it ranges, the violence varies by age and race and ethnicity. And what I'm going to tell you is not going to be surprising. Firearm homicide rates are highest among teen and young adults from 15 to 34 years of age, and among Black or African Americans, American Indians, Alaska Natives, and Hispanic or Latino population. This astonished me. Firearm suicide rates are highest among adults 75 years of age and older, and among and it includes American Indians or Alaska Natives or non-Hispanic white population. So remember, we brought out the statistics where you have more non-fatal injuries due to gun violence than you do the fatal injuries, but it's not that vast amount of difference. The problem is that people who survive these firearm-related injury, they experience long-term consequences. They have problems with memory, their thinking, their emotional. So you can see this trauma affects them mentally, as well as they have some physical disability from injury to the brain. Of course, you know, we have paralysis sometimes, and they have chronic mental health problems, such as PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder. Shooting incidents, we know now, are in the homes, in schools, in houses of worship, in the churches, workplaces, shopping areas, on the street, at community events. There is nowhere that is not impacted by gun violence. And so it creates a lack of safety and security for everyone. People, and I've heard people say when they go out, they're always more cognizant of what's going on in their surroundings. Now, one of the things that I've always noticed, especially with the veterans that have been in war areas like Vietnam, we don't have a lot of World War II veterans. It's mostly the Vietnam era, Desert Storm, the Iraqi, Afghanistan veterans, like that. If they go into a restaurant, and this has always been them, if they go into a restaurant, they never sit with their back to the door. My sons do it. They have to be where they can see what's coming and going, okay? This is the type of environment now that is being breeded among people that have no military experience because of what is happening in our society. You can drop a spoon or a fork, and you're going to see somebody in that facility jerk, turn around, looking for something, because with all of the gun violence, the mass shooting, it is creating a atmosphere of insecurity, of anxiety, okay? And so people are more mentally alert, not because, just mental alert because this is something they have to do. The gun violence is conditioning them. I'm not saying it's not good to be mentally alert, but people are let me say this, they're in hyper alert now because of all of the gun violence. Not only does it affect us in the physical and the mental status, it is making a substantial impact on the cost to the United States. There's tens of billions of dollars each year in medical expenses or lost productivity due to gun violence. And so we can see that this impacts everything. I was looking at some more information, and now this type of issue that we experience is in the forefront of public consciousness, and that's why you have more people looking at this. And then you have some people that, because it's happening so often, are getting sensitized to it. I mean, it happens, somebody got shot, oh well, you know. And that's where the danger is, because it becomes a habit, a way of life, and if we let that continue, it's difficult to impact changes in people. Habits are hard to break, and when you have a habit of looking at something and said, oh well, and this is what happens, it just happened the other day, it's hard to break that impact. So that's why even as medical professionals, because we have started really talking to even our patients about it. We ask them questions. Have you been threatened with bodily harm? You know, we really get into more details now because of the gun violence about the whole, we call it the whole health. We've got to deal with everything. And that's why when I was bringing it up by our churches, we're trying to impact the economic and the social environment in the area that we live. I mean, not live, but where we worship. Because until we do that, it's really difficult to really bring people into the church. You've got to address where they are and make that impact. So you have to be knowledgeable of what is going on. I never thought that I would ever see where the church needs security. It just blows my mind that even now church has to have security, whether it's somebody in your church or somebody that you hire. Now, we have people in our church that do kind of watch out, but we have hired security, which I just never would have imagined. But because of what we're seeing, this is what we're having to do. So right now, if we're going to combat this, we're going to have to address everything. The social, the emotional, the physical well-being, the mental health needs, and especially our children and the youth who have been exposed to gun violence. They're very impressionable, and if you haven't worked with kids before, my specialty by trade is a pediatric nurse, and if you've never worked with kids, it is very difficult. Kids tend to, and we were talking about a young lady today, it was a different situation, but kids tend to internalize more than adults. They tend to witness and not speak of it. And that's why I tell people, when your child has been exposed to any kind of violence, even the death of a parent, you know, or a grandparent or somebody that is very close to them, then if you cannot talk to them, if they will not open up to you, if they will not open up to the pastor, then you need to let them see somebody professionally, because kids do internalize. They may say some things, but the real, for what they're really feeling, they don't always tell you that. So we have to really be cognizant, especially of children, and not only children, and I mean, it's impacting adults also. I just think as adults, we have a better grip on how to process the information, and though it impacts us, we tend to talk about it, even if it's not what we intended to, but we'll say so-and-so had that mass shooting. That was terrible. But we're talking. Kids may not do that. They may not talk about what's going on. So we really have to understand that what is happening with the gun violence, it is really impacting every aspect of American life. When communities, families, and children and youth are empowered to work together and challenge negative values, then we can see a cultural change regarding violence, and that helps to reduce the community-wide fear. one thing that bothers me, and I think we forget that we're all in this together. I don't care where we live. We're all in this together. When a person said, oh, that happened over there. No, it may have happened in Missouri or Oregon or Texas, but as a society, we're all impacted one way or another, and I don't think a lot of people understand that. So we should not take it lightly as a community because it's not right next door. We should take it very seriously as if it had happened in our own community. And not be so aloof about it's not touching me. It is touching you indirectly because what is happening is it's breeding a wave of insecurity. And if you notice, it is also breeding more shootings. So it impacts all of us, everybody. And nobody is excluded. One of the things that I did see, and I'm very concerned about children because it seems that they have no direction and they're easily swayed. And that children and youth exposed to chronic trauma can experience inhibited brain development, which can produce a lasting impact on life outcomes. This trauma can affect them so much that mentally they do not develop like they should. And then, of course, it changes their direction as they travel down the road of life. There are a lot of children that experience problems with violence and aggression because they don't have the nonviolent conflict resolution skill. And that's a big thing that I see. You know, when we were growing up and you had some issues with somebody, you settled your issues, and then you went on and you played with them. Kids are not like that today. They don't have those skills. You know, making fun of each other, it's not new. That's old as the hill. But our way of coping was better than children of today. And I have to say it, a lot of it is because parents are not teaching good coping skills because they don't have good coping skills. We realized this year. I've been a nurse 33 years. I did a report on this probably back 3 years out of nursing school that the impact of younger parenting would impact our youth down the road, and that's what we're seeing. We're seeing when children having children who have no life skills, who have no coping skills, who are not fully maturely developed, and they're having children, and they're not raising the children with the same standards that we were raised as we were growing up. And so these kids do not have the coping skills to deal with all of this this violence, and it becomes a cycle. It becomes a cycle where kids just observe negative adult violence and behaviors, and they embrace that because that's what they know. That's what they learn, and so that's why it's very important that we do all we can to impact, especially our young people, because that's how we're going to change things. We got to save them in order to impact our society. And I'm not saying older people are not doing it, but if you look at the ages of what we're having now, it is young people, and you know, it's teenagers or young adults. So we have to do that. There are a lot of mental concerns right now because, as I said, it affects everybody. Many parents and teachers and workers, a lot of times they're not educated on the mental health conditions that results with repeated gun violence. And so because they're not educated on that, they fail to identify the early signs of mental illness and delay child and youth access to treatment. If you look at the gun violence that was in the schools, the different schools, Sandy Hook, Uvalde, and the different ones, you will hear that these kids had issues, but they were never addressed. Nobody ever addressed it. Number one, the parents were not more of an investigator. I used to tell my kids when they were growing up, this is my house, you don't pay no rent, and I can go in your room and I can look at anything I want and do anything I want. And if you want to be on your own and do what you want to do, go get a house of your own. And we have to, I understand children's privacy, but there is a limit to their privacy. Some kids, they're on their computers. Parents don't know what they're on, what they're watching. They don't know what they're doing on those computers. Nothing is private in my house when it comes to children. Even when my godchildren come on, they'll tell you nothing is private. And so that's one of the things, is that parents haven't been more proactive in knowing what their children are doing. And then secondly, then when they go to school, the teachers really haven't been educated enough on you need to report this. And sometimes just little things that you see that kids are doing, it may not require anything aggressive, but the fact that you notice something, or the kids will tell you something, it's worth investigating. And it's worth talking to the parents and getting them involved with this. It's important as a community that we take responsibility for the well-being of our children, our youth, and everybody else. We are not an island. We do not stand alone. We are a group of individuals impacting one another. A geographical location has nothing to do with the impact that you have on one another. So if we should be combating negative impact of violence on the children, and by it requires collaboration with everybody, the teachers, the principals, social workers, police officers, doctors, parents, friends, church people. Go outside the wall. That is one of the things that we do a lot, we're involved with a lot, is doing things outside the wall, especially when it comes to children. We partner with DHR. We partner with Family Services and different organizations within our community. We partner with them because we realize all the children do not come to our church, but they impact our lives, and they impact the lives of our children and other adults. So we partner with organizations that have more involvement in children's lives. And so That's why we go outside the door. In fact, we're waiting on now. We've already contacted for the Christmas holidays, for the giveaway, all those things. We impact that. And then yearly we do things to bring the kids out of the neighborhood in the surrounding communities into an environment where they can, a wholesome environment, where they can enjoy themselves. We just had our back-to-school bash. I have never seen a gaming truck, but it is huge. It is a huge, it's long, and you go in there, and they've got nothing but wall-to-wall games where the kids can sit in there and play games, but it's monitored. There's no violence, no misbehaving, because if you misbehave, you're not allowed on the truck. And these are the things that we have to do to help our children. So, and summing it up, you know, we've just got to be more involved in knowing that what impacts one area impacts all of us. And we're seeing that where you could have seen gun violence in one area. Now you see it just spiraling. And I know a lot of this is, you know, I really believe this, my own personal opinion, that I feel like if the devil can get the young people, then he feels like he's got society as a whole. But that's where we, as that type of believer, we come into focus. And that is we get involved. We do whatever you can do, just little things. One of the things that I do is sometimes I got a couple young men, they like to make money, so I'll bring them over and I'll let them work in my yard. I'll feed them, I'll give them, I'll pay them, and then I take them home. Anything we can do to encourage them, you know, to provide a positive environment. And it doesn't take a lot. It's just little things that we can do. And we just have to find out what can I do in my little corner. And if everybody finds something to do in their little corner, then we can all make a big difference. And that's it for me tonight. Any questions or comment? Otherwise, I'm through.
I have several comments that I would like to make based on what you have been saying. And I will have a series of programs on violence. One thing you said, one violence, one homicide, you have to multiply that by 42. So
yeah.
One homicide impacts 42 other people. And it could be more now.
Yeah.
But I'm a law enforcement chaplain, been in that for over 20 years. Also, I am a officially professional trauma response or crisis responder. And the other thing is that mass murder is burnt into this American psyche.
Yep.
Whenever they started this country, they wiped out the Native Americans. And also, young people, having been the director of a youth program in Baltimore, where we call the Child Development Community Policing Program, we were amazed. A homicide could have taken place, and they did the chalk outline on the sidewalk. Do you know young people will walk, step on across there like nothing had happened, eating their burger?
Oh, yeah.
I believe it. That blew our mind. Other thing is, violence has become a way of life in this country. And
yeah.
We're going to have to come up with, it has to be dealt from the institutional purpose because the institution of gun violence is directly related to the gun manufacturer. And long as they're making money, and that's part of the capitalist system, and they,
yep,
long as they're making a profit, they're not going to change unless lots of pressure put on.
Yeah.
I mean, this topic, you know, touched me where I have worked for years. And these young people out there on the corners, you can walk up to them and they will say, look, we don't really want to be here, but this and this and this. And
mm-hmm.
they take care of you because you take care of them. Only thing I'm saying is thank you, thank you, thank you. There will be a series of discussions on violence on Friday night, I think at 8 o'clock, starting the second Friday in September. On the same channel, the same guest call-in number, and I will have some guests. I'm sorry if I'm taking over your program, but I'm just a little excited.
You're in somebody else's program, too.
No, that's mine.
Oh, okay.
That's mine. The thing is, we'll have guests. I have a police chief that be on occasionally, and I will have a mental health person that comes on that will be on occasion, because we need to impact the community with education. That's what's happening, because this violent thing. Even you asked the question, how many guns is enough? Well, that's a good question. I have shotgun, pump gun. I have a Marlin 30-30. I have a 9mm. And then I have a compact 9mm. You say, now, why you need all that? Well, one, I have a commit to carry. And one, I can put it on me and walk around with it on me. And we're getting to a point in this society where people just feel so insecure, and they're looking over their shoulder and looking around them. I mean, I feel more insecure now than I felt walking in East Baltimore with nothing.
Hmm.
And that was drug infestations and everything. But now this is getting wild.
Yeah, it's definitely something we're going to have to deal with. All righty, well, that's it. Nobody else? We're going to sign off.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good evening.
Shalom.